This is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. Lorraine Hansberry was a woman of firsts. She was the first female playwright to have a play performed on Broadway. And at age 29, she became the youngest American playwright and the first Black American playwright to win the New York Drama Critics Circle Award. Now, with a revival of A Raisin in the Sun running at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and a sidewalk plaque installed in her honor as part of the Ashland Playwrights Walk, she's having a moment in the Rogue Valley. I recently talked with two women about her legacy, Joy Gresham, director of the Lorraine Hansberry Literary Trust, and Ashland City Councilor Gina Duquesne. Joy, let's start with some background before we get into our local production. Lorraine Hansberry is best known for Raisin in the Sun, but tell us first more about her civil rights activism and her other writings.
Well, at the Lorraine Hansberry Literary Trust, which I direct, which looks at her legacy, we shape her legacy as her being an artist, activist, writer, and public intellectual. That she was all of those things concurrently at the same time. I think in terms of her having those identities, they were all equal. They were all shoulder to shoulder with one another. I don't think there was any hierarchy in terms of how she thought of herself. And so the legacy really is one in which activism through the arts and through writing, she was originally a journalist, are all wedded. They're inseparable. And she came to playwriting almost as an accident. She began, she had a brief tenure at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. When she was out of high school, she was there for 2 years and became discouraged in it. She wasn't meant to be a student.
Ironically, sometimes intellectuals aren't
right.
good
right.
in that role.
Yeah. That she wasn't academically interested. And she decided to pursue her real education, which took her to New York City via a stint in Mexico, where she studied visual arts and painting. And she ended up in 1949, I think she came to New York City. And one of her first jobs in 1950 was at the newspaper Freedom, which was a newspaper founded by Paul Robeson. And she was very young. I believe when she first got there, she was around 21. And she went from being the tea maker, excelling and becoming the assistant editor at Freedom. And so she spent a couple of years very interested in journalism and writing. And I think the foundation of that you see in her later writing and her plays. She has a very worldly knowledge and an understanding of social history and of humanity. She was a passionate humanist. And all those values were in place through that. And she had various jobs to survive being in New York City and spent some of that time going to school. And eventually met and married the man who would become my father later on, Robert Nemiroff. And they became a couple in the West Village of New York, Greenwich Village. And through that process, he was a songwriter. And he started to encourage her to write more and more. And she decided in the early 50s, 1952 or 1953, that she wanted to devote herself to full-time writing. And she began to become interested in playwriting.
And in that time, you mentioned Paul Robeson. Was she part of a big community of artists and thinkers and writers at that time?
She was situated in Harlem in New York City. And yes, was part of a community of progressive writers and thinkers and artists. And at the same time, she was taking classes as she was writing also at Freedom, which was also based in Harlem.
Okay.
And so there was a community there that of other, probably other artists, other playwrights, other musicians. So she really thrived in community there at that time.
And it was out of that ground that she, in 1957 and 58, she was working on Raisin in the Sun.
Yes.
And talk about how that play pretty much exploded in the theater world. I mean, she had Tony nominations. It was translated in 35 languages. And she was all of 29.
Lorraine wrote a letter to her mother on the eve of A Raisin in the Sun opening on Broadway. And it was a letter to really mark her accomplishment. The play had just finished tryouts in a number of cities in Philadelphia, and the last city was Chicago before it came to New York. And just to say a tiny bit about that, that the play was ready to go, and there was a cast and there was a director lined up for a New York City run, a Broadway run, but they didn't have a theater. And the theaters were very reluctant to put their cash into a new, let alone 29-year-old writer, let alone black and female. And so they really had a time trying to raise the money to get a theater and to get that kind of backing. And so as a way of keeping this cast and this director intact and ready to go, they did a series of tryouts, touring around, going to different theaters, sort of like a plane that's kind of circling and getting ready to, you know, to land. And they just had to stay in the air, so to speak. And so they finally got a theater, and they went to New York. And on that occasion, in the headiness of it, Lorraine writes to her mother and says, you know, "Dear Mama, I hope you're proud of your youngest child, and I really am pleased about this, and I think you would be too." And she says in the letter that, "I really believe that this is a play that tells the truth about our lives, that it's a play that will show the dignity and the complexity and the humanity of black people." And it's just an extraordinary thing that she emphasizes and notes to her mother. And what she was talking about was that up until that time in the theater world, most of how black life was introduced to the public was through stereotype and through minstrelsy and through musical theater that just kind of showed black people in the most infantile kind of, you know, derogatory ways. And so she was interested in bringing black life, authentic black life, to the stage. And that's what A Raisin in the Sun is noted for, that it, for the first time, shed a dramatic light on black life that was real.
Yeah, because her family also was segregated.
Her family was, that was the life that all knew.
Yeah.
And so she was noted for that. But much more than that, what it did was it introduced a white audience to black life, but also it became an opportunity to bring and to build a black audience in the theater, which hadn't really been a part of the Broadway theater life.
I think it's fascinating that she had the awareness of this play's moment in history with that letter to her mother. That's something about that gives me goosebumps. She was aware of it at so young of an age. So I want to kind of move into the local production now. So you, as a representative of the trust, you're all keenly aware of sort of a, maybe a skewed or at least limited public perception of her. We don't know this whole, you know, the all dimensions. Not everybody knows that she inspired a Nina Simone song or that she had that autobiography. So with all that in mind, you want to bring all that to bear on her life and her work. How is it in your role as working as a consultant with the director? This was directed by Tim Bond. So what's that process like?
So Tim, all licensing for Hansberry's works comes to me for approval. So about a year ago, I was approached by OSF, and I was told that Tim, who I've worked with previously, who I have friendship with, was interested in directing a revival of A Raisin in the Sun. Could he have license to it? And I said, yes. And I shared that I was interested in, as a matter of fact, I was interested in including it in my Lorraine Hansberry restoration project, which is a project that I direct and I'm sort of the lead investigator on. And it's a project that looks at Hansberry's plays individually in depth. And we conduct a very broad but also in-depth dramaturgical study of the play. I am a consultant to the Schomburg Center for Black Life and Research in Harlem, which is part of the New York Public Library, and that's where Lorraine's papers are held. And I have taken an interest, actually, is the best way to describe it, as working in a liaison relationship with scholars and writers and artists who are interested in in-depth projects on Hansberry. And so they have the opportunity to come in and see her papers mm-hmm. and read her manuscripts and her notes and that kind of thing. And that was when I had the opportunity, or I had the idea, to do a dramaturgical project on A Raisin in the Sun. So I was saying to him, not only can you have license to it, but I come with it. And I would like to invite you to participate in this study of it, which is to say that the way the restoration project is set up is that we form a team of three people. It's the director, it's usually the dramaturg of the theater, and myself as the script overseer mm-hmm. or consultant. And we worked together. And so I needed to find out if that was something that interests Tim. And Tim, who has a fascinating kind of lifelong relationship with this particular play, a tremendous love for it yeah. and a desire to direct it, said, oh, can we do it now? And so we began this fall to do that study in Harlem at the Schomburg. And to prepare for it. So to answer your question, it's been just a joy to work with Tim. He has an incredible love of the play and of Hansberry. And at the same time, he had a real appreciation for the work, doing the work that we set out to do.
Yeah. I've seen him speak about that. Okay, yeah. So there are the official papers in New York, and here in Ashland, we also have a touchstone. And Gina, you're here to tell us about that, sort of a collective point of view from Ashland and how the city, I think the Chamber of Commerce and the Oregon Shakespeare Festival worked together.
Yes, and just to kind of underline what the Social Equity and Racial Justice Committee did, Emily Simon, just to name one person, individual, reached out to Tim Bond, but first and foremost, Emily reached out to Joy to ask, once again, licensing, can we quote Miss Hansberry? And Joy, in all of her graciousness, said yes. And we were very excited about that. So the Social Equity Racial Justice Committee and the Public Arts Committee got together and reached out to our local artists, which Joy met Micah Blacklight, an amazing young man, mm-hmm. and Jack Laneford, who cast it. Yeah. And now in front of Railroad Park, where we used to be able to hang our T-shirts in commemoration of Black lives that were lost, and that got vandalized so many times. Now, thanks to the people you mentioned, and most importantly, the person who gave us the license for it, this plaque will be in the ground long after I'm gone, long after we're all gone, with a quote from Lorraine Hansberry, with the work and the art from community members that made this happen. And something that was mentioned earlier, Joy said that Lorraine Hansberry was in the community and she was an artist and about community and people. Well, this is something that the people of Ashland brought together with Lorraine's vision and made happen. So for that, I'm grateful to the Thaldens, who brought the idea of the Playwrights Walk, Susan Hahn, who is part of PAC, everybody on the Public Arts Committee and the Social Equity and Racial Justice Committee, who came together and made this happen. I know Lorraine is smiling down on us, and she's proud of us and what we're doing. And so the Playwrights Walk is fabulous. And I found out July of this year, we will have 16 more plaques in the ground that's part of the Playwrights Walk. And three of them will be at OSF's campus. And Lorraine Hansberry's plaque was our second plaque in Ashland. So I'm overjoyed and proud. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Joy Gresham and Gina Duquesne, thank you so much for talking with me today about art and community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My guests were the director of the Lorraine Hansberry Literary Trust, Joy Gresham, and Ashland City Councilor, Gina Duquesne. Lorraine Hansberry's play, A Raisin in the Sun, runs at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival through July 19th. Thanks for tuning in to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney.